Well, turn with me in your Bibles again to 1 John, 1 John chapter 3 and verses 19 to 24. John writes, "This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if your hearts do not condemn you, you have confidence before God and receive from him everything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." When I preached on 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6, I preached a sermon I called, "That You May Know You Belong to Jesus." And in reality, this is a continuation of that particular theme. Throughout the book of 1 John, there are three themes that are flowing through them all the time. One of them is the theme of truth. This is the truth. And this is what the truth is all about. And this is what you've got to believe. The other theme is the theme of love. How do you love each other? How do you love your brothers? How do you love the world around you? How do you love God? And the third theme is the theme of assurance of salvation. How do we know that we belong to God? Well, this is a continuation. When I preached out of 1 John chapter 2, I reminded us that you can know you belong to Jesus because you know that you know you have come to know him. You just know it deep down within you. You can know you belong to Jesus, secondly, because you seek to obey what Jesus has taught. Thirdly, you know you can belong to Jesus when your trust has stood the test of time. And fourthly, you know you belong to Jesus when you want to be more like him. So today I want to continue with that theme. What are some more reasons why we can know that we belong to Jesus? You don't ever need to doubt whether you belong to Jesus. Let me remind you of the background. John was writing to counteract the teachings of a man called Cerinthus. His teachings are known to us as Gnosticism. And Cerinthus was teaching that if you wanted to know God, you needed to have a special kind of knowledge. And not everybody would have that knowledge. Some of them would not know it at all. I wonder if you could just turn the volume down a little bit, please. It's just a little bit loud in my ears here. So, how do we know we belong to Jesus? Well, let me give you a few more reasons. Firstly, you can know that you belong to Jesus because your assurance of salvation does not depend on you. Your assurance of your salvation does not depend on you. Verse 20 says, "God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything." I'm sure we've all felt unsure about our salvation at some point in our lives. If you've never doubted whether you truly are a Christian, you're remarkable. Because almost every Christian I've ever come across at some point in time wondered Am I really a Christian? Am I truly a Christian? And there are a number of reasons why we kind of ask ourselves that, am I a Christian? Sometimes we may ask that question when we have failed, particularly if we failed morally. In a moment of weakness, you may have done something that you know is against the teaching of Scripture, and you think, well, you know, if I'm capable of doing that, then am I really a Christian? I'm sure some may feel like that. Perhaps your faith has grown cold. Perhaps your circumstances, your life circumstances, work, or whatever it may be, has prevented you from being in regular fellowship with a body of believers. And that you've got kind of used to not going to church. You got kind of used to just, you know, doing your own little thing and not really being part of a church. Maybe you've lost the habit of meeting together with other believers. And after a while, you begin to wonder, do I really need Christianity in my life? Sadly, there are many of you going through that. A lot of that has been brought on by the COVID event. A lot of people during COVID never went to church because we couldn't. And they didn't watch messages that were being shared. And they've drifted from the Lord. They don't feel God is as close. Perhaps you faced the traumatic event, the loss of a loved one or a major accident or something like that. Something that has happened to you that has made you wonder, God, do you really love me? And do I really love you? There are lots of people who kind of ask those questions about God when they face traumatic events. Perhaps you've listened to some clever scientist or some clever philosopher who kind of, through his good use of language, has put a seed of doubt in your mind as to who God truly is. Ask many young people who go to university. When they leave to go to university as teenagers, they seem on fire for the Lord. And then they go to university and they come back from university and it seems like God has got no part in their lives anymore. Friends, perhaps you're one of those. Perhaps Satan himself, friends, has caused you to doubt and to force you to think about or lie to you about who Jesus is. Friends, whatever the reason is, you are doubting. And if you have been doubting, friends, whatever that reason is, let me tell you, that reason is false. Simply because of this, your assurance of salvation does not depend upon you. Now, why do I say that? Well, friends, there's simply one reason why I say that the assurance of your salvation does not depend on you. And the reason is this. Your salvation does not depend upon you. How many of you are able to save yourself? Anybody able to save themselves? Anybody able to do anything to contribute to their salvation? Friends, there is nothing we can do that causes God to have to accept us. The Bible is very clear. For it is by grace you have been saved. Through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. So, friends, simply, if your salvation does not depend upon you, why do you all of a sudden think that the assurance of your salvation depends upon you. Friend, when God has chosen you, when God has made you part of His family, when God has opened His arms wide and said, "Welcome home, my child," you are forever a part of the family of God. God does not abandon His children. God does not turn His back on His children. God doesn't save you and then kick you out of heaven at some point in time. Friends, in the same way that your salvation depends wholly and totally upon God, the assurance of your salvation is wholly the work of God. That's why the verse says, John says, God is greater than our hearts. Because sometimes our hearts wonder, am I a Christian? But John reminds his audience, God is greater than your hearts. He'll never leave you or abandon you. He'll never forsake you, friends. You can know you are Christian, friends, because God is faithful in keeping you as part of His family. Secondly, you can know you're a Christian when you have peace in your heart. John continues and he writes, "Dear friends, if your hearts don't condemn you, then you have confidence before God." How do you know that? Have you ever noticed that when you're driving down the road and the cars around you suddenly become aware that there's a policeman somewhere in the area? Perhaps you're driving down the highway, and as you're driving down the highway, the cars that are coming towards you are flashing their lights. Have you had that experience before? When they're flashing their lights, what do you know? There's a traffic cop up there. You know what I've discovered is that all of a sudden everybody drives 20 kilometers less than the speed limit. And I'm often quite frustrated. Why are you driving 20 kilometers less than the speed limit? You know why? Because their conscience has got the better of them. When they know that the law is around, they suddenly want to be super good drivers. And they drive much slower than they are. I'm blessed to have speed control in my car. So when I get on the highway, I set it to the speed limit and I go. Not worried about the speed cop ahead. Because I know my car is set to travel at the right speeds. And I've got no fear in driving ahead. When the people are flashing with their lights, it doesn't bother me, friends, because I know my car is going the right speeds. I don't slow down to 100 when I know I can be doing 120. So when when the drivers are flashing us, everybody around me is driving slowly and I'm going past them. And they all probably say, "Yeah, the policeman's going to catch you." And I say, I don't fear the policeman because I know my car is driving at the right speed. Friends, that's what this is all about. You know, the same thing happens when the preacher talks about sins that may not affect us. You know, when us Baptists hear a preacher talk about alcohol, we say, "Oh, all those other bad Christians, they drink in that church, you know that." Or when the preacher maybe talks about the love of money, we say, "Yeah, I know those charismatics, they're the ones who love money." But you know, when the preacher begins to talk about gossip or being judgmental, then we are all chup still, aren't we? All of us are quiet. Because suddenly we feel a little bit guilty, don't we? Friends, John's message is clear. If you don't ever have to have a bad conscience about something, you know you're a Christian. If you're driving down the road and you don't need to worry about the policeman, you're obeying the law. If you're going through life and the preacher's preaching a sermon about a topic, you don't need to fear God, friends, because you know you're doing what God requires of you. So John says, when your conscience is always clear, then you know. Then you can know that you're a Christian. Thirdly, you can know you're a Christian, friends, John reminds us, when all of your needs are met in Christ and Christ alone. John writes in verse 21, friends, we have confidence before God and receive from Him everything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. What an incredible promise there is in this passage. You will receive everything you ask for. Now, do we? No, we don't. Of course not, do we? We must be very careful to take this verse out of context. Because there are many who want to claim lots of things from God that are not part of His commands. The context of the verse, friends, is very clear that we receive when we are obeying His commands and doing what pleases Him. That's how we know. Friend, basically what's saying is when you are walking in step with God, when you are in tune with God, when you're doing what God wants you to do, when you're obedient to His call and His command, when you're following His letters and following His calls, friends, then you can ask that He may meet your needs. And He will provide everything you ever need in this life. Jesus is the perfect example of that. You remember the occasion where Jesus healed Lazarus. As He was about to pray that God would raise Lazarus, Jesus says this, I know you hear, I know that you always hear me. But I have said this for the benefit of the people standing in here, that they may believe that you sent me. You see, when Jesus was just about to ask, to tell Lazarus to come out of the grave, friends, He turns to His Father and He says, I know you always hear me. Why could He do that? Because, friends, Jesus walked with His Father every step of the way. And when He asked for the resurrection of Lazarus to take place, friends, He could do so confidently, knowing that God would hear Him, because He had heard from God. That's the key. How do we know we will receive everything? There's a verse further on in the Gospel, in the book of John, 1 John, in verse 5, it says this, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask according to His will, He hears us. If we ask according to His will, God hears us. You see, friends, you can ask for anything from God if it's according to His will. So the question you need to ask is, when you're asking something of God, is what you're asking according to God's will, or is it according to your will and desire? Because if you ask anything according to His will, the verse carries on, it says, and we know that He hears us whenever we ask, and we know that we have what we ask of Him. So friend, you can know you are in Christ or belong to Christ when your needs are being met by Jesus. Let's face reality. Do we need anything more than Jesus? Do we need anything more than what He gives us? Salvation and peace and assurance and a promise of being with Him. Friends, we need nothing more to help us face the future. Fourthly, you can know that you belong to Jesus when the Spirit in you desires what Jesus desires. John writes in verse 24, those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in it. We know by the Spirit He gave us. A few years ago, it was very fashionable to wear a little band around your arm with the letters WWJD printed on it. Do you remember that? Somebody still have one of those? Anybody still wearing one of those? What does WWJD stand for? What would Jesus do? See, friends, that's what John's talking about here. The true believer doesn't need to ask, doesn't need to wear a bracelet. The true believer doesn't need to wear a crucifix. The true believer doesn't need to wear a prayer chain or a prayer beads. A true believer doesn't need lots of Hail Marys or Our Fathers. A true believer, friends, is somebody who's walking and asking themselves at any point in time in their lives, what would Jesus do? If that's your lifestyle, if that's how you're going through life, constantly asking yourself through the Spirit of God, what would Jesus do? Friends, you can know you're a Christian. But if you're going through life and thinking only about what you're going to get out of this situation, there's something you need to question. What would Jesus do? So how can you know you're a Christian? Friend, you can know you're a Christian because, friend, you only need to rely on God. He'll do the rest. You'll know you're a Christian when you've got peace in your heart. You'll know you're a Christian when everything you need, friends, is fulfilled by Jesus. And you'll know you're a Christian when you're constantly seeking to live by the direction of the Spirit of God in your heart and your life. How do you know you're a Christian? Well, friends, you know you're a Christian when your eyes are fixed on Jesus. When your eyes are fixed on Jesus and you're following Him every step of the way, everything else becomes less important and He gets lifted up. Let's keep Him the center of all we are and all we want to do. Let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You for the assurance we can have that we belong to You. What a joy to be reminded, Lord, that our assurance of salvation, our assurance of being part of Your family, doesn't belong or is not dependent upon us, Lord, but wholly dependent upon You. what you've done in our hearts and lives. Keep us close to you. Keep us obedient to your Spirit. Keep us seeking your will and your way. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus. May your Spirit prompt us to do that every step of the way. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.